At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to brand new on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Get everything you need to bet on baseball this season, 24/7 streaming, daily best bet emails, advice, data, strategy, only $19. Our all-digital MLB guide at VSiN.com available now. Sign up today, get full access to VSiN through the NFL draft, only $19, VSiN.com/draft.
Let's begin this hour talking about the NBA, all the news that came in yesterday, the play-in games and the series and the matchups that we have, as well as Coach David Thorpe joins the program now. TrueHoop.com. Good morning, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing great. This is the busiest week of my year every year, but it's fun.
Oh, well, we appreciate the time, no doubt. Okay, so let's begin all the news that we had yesterday. What are you hearing this morning with Luka Doncic? It came down last night, obviously, had the cap strain late in the game against the Spurs. And I know people have been going back to look at the average cap strain for the NBA player this year. The average amount of days missed has been about 16. If that's the case, I mean, well, good luck against Utah. But what are you hearing with Luka? Can he maybe come back for the series?
I mean, I'm not a reporter that way. As you guys know, I'm an analyst, so I really focus on what's on the line, between the lines. But I know what I read, which was there was reason for optimism. Calf strains are, you know, it's not like a broken bone where you can really have degrees, although I guess there's some degrees in a fracture too. But they seem to be optimistic. I don't know why. Knowing him, he's going to want to play no matter what. It does impact his level of fitness in terms of preparation. I mean, he's got a week here where if he wasn't injured, he would be as fit as you could ever want him to be. And now we don't know. So it's a concern.
Can they beat Utah without him?
No chance.
No chance?
No, no, I don't think there's any chance. You're talking about one of the best 5, 6, 7 players, you know, in the world. And incredible in the postseason, an incredible advantage by the team that has them. And Utah is as broken as Utah seems to be. They're not that broke. I don't think Dallas would have a chance without Luka.
Okay, but if Luka comes back and they were able to beat Utah, right, with him healthy, they could absolutely give the Suns a run for their money in the second round.
Yeah, like I was telling you guys off air. First of all, I think if healthy, I would have picked them to beat Utah, and because I think the Jazz are kind of ripe for change now. It's going in that direction. And Luka is not someone you want to get healthy against. He's that good. Because he's so special, and so good in the playoffs, and not just here, but in Europe too, as we know. And the way that team has kind of gelled offensively was with Dinwiddie and late in the games. You know, they went from being one of the worst clutch teams to maybe the best clutch team with Spencer and with a healthy and fit Luka. But I still think Phoenix would have a huge advantage. It's mitigated some because Phoenix is so good late game because of Chris Paul and their experience. They've just been together for so, you know, these last 2 years seems like it's been 10. But Luka counteracts that. So, yeah, I think it'd be a great 6 or 7 game series. And if Phoenix didn't play well, they could lose. But I would still favor them to win.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we don't know what the status will be with Luka coming up. But we do know the status with Thybul. So how big of a loss is this that Thybul will not be able to play in Toronto?
I think it's a really big deal. Siakam has been an all-NBA level player the last, you know, maybe 60% of the season. He's really just been devastating people. And Thybul is... You know, Jrue Holiday is probably the best perimeter defender in the world at the guard position. Thybul might be that guy on the wing. He's that good. And not that I think he'd be, you know, able to completely shut down Siakam in the way the Raptors play, but he would go a long way towards quieting him to the point where the Sixers would have an advantage. You know, Harden and Embiid together are still an incredible duo, one of the best duos in the league. But depth is an issue. They have depth at backup center. You know, we don't really know what they're going to do, and nothing's worked so far, which was a problem 3 years ago when Embiid sat. So Thybul just is an important, you know, he wing player, but he's an important rotation player. And then also every game you play against an expert winner like Siakam and a producer is you're learning new things about how better to guard him for the next game and the next game. And so while Thybul will benefit from resting for, you know, 5 days, which is great, he'll also lose the opportunity to gain even more of a knowledge about Siakam, who's going to do well against their backups when he's not in. And that series looks, if indeed, we'll see what happens. But I'm guessing it's going to be a 6 or 7 game series. And I may be favoring Toronto, but I haven't done my deep dive on it yet.
I was going to say, you're going to have a full week now to break this series down. That's a great point, by the way, what you just said about playing against him and he can like learn the nuances when he's on the court. It's something that a coach like yourself would pick up on for sure.
Yeah, it's just you. Every game is it helps you inform not just your next workout, but your plan, like your strategy. And oh, this was real successful. Uh-huh. And it's like playing poker with the same people all the time. You kind of learn their tells. Thybul isn't just an athlete; he's a brilliant defensive player overall, and he's going to lose that advantage. And Pascal is going to gain more confidence potentially. Those first 2 games in Philly are huge because if they're able to take even one, it's the same old story. They're going to be able to play both those games in Toronto without Thybul, and that they could go up 3-1. That's the fear for Philadelphia, for sure.
Yeah, I know you're not a reporter, as you said, but you know so many guys in the league and so many coaches. What are you hearing on Curry? If he's close to 100%, I know Kerr said something about game one. Simmons might come back, and can any of these two guys come back for Denver?
So I don't know about coming back. I will tell you that I don't think it's so easy just to come back when you've been out a while. I think in Curry's case, he'll be fine. Okay. We've seen with Norman Powell, we've seen with Paul George in L.A. Those guys were out a good period of time, but they played this year, and they looked like they picked up where they kind of left off.
Right.
I mean, Ben Simmons. I've been a proponent. I've been on Ben's side to some degree his whole career. Missing an entire season, knowing what happened last time, I certainly would not think we're going to see a great Ben Simmons in the playoffs. And then same thing with MPJ basically missed the year. I think he played 9 games and he wasn't good. And of course, Murray's missed all of it. It takes, with Murray's injury especially, it's wrong to assume either will come back rolling. It's great having Jokic because he makes their job easier, but you still have to perform, you have to finish, and you've got to defend. Let's not forget that. I think in those three cases, Ben Simmons and the two Nuggets guys, it's wrong. It's naive to think that they're going to come back really good. They've just been out for too long. It's a hard lead. You don't just come back right away and win a NASCAR race, you know?
Yeah, well said. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, the coach, David Thorpe, our guest, TrueHoop.com. What is your level of confidence in the Lakers organization hitting it out of the park with their next head coach, and they still have LeBron, and if Davis can ever be healthy, but your level of confidence as well, like building the right pieces around those two moving forward?
I have zero confidence in what they're doing. Absolutely zero. It is not a wise strategy to build around old people when your best player is LeBron James at 37 and your second best player is what clearly now is we call him a somewhat fragile, if not very fragile, Anthony Davis. I'm not mad at Anthony Davis. It's sometimes skeletons just don't cooperate when you put on muscle and run around for 82 games, or in his case, not even close to that, and things break down. I don't think he's weak or soft, nothing like that. It's just bad luck, but that's the way luck is. They should have, obviously, Kendrick Nunn was bad luck. Malik Monk worked out fine. Russell Westbrook was a disaster, and I don't think that gets easier. They should have just surrounded those two guys with really young, athletic guys and coached them up. Frank Vogel's a hell of a coach. He's probably gone. LeBron and AD would help those guys hugely. Instead, they pivoted the other way. A couple of young guys, mostly old guys. And it's just LeBron, you know, it is a myth, and I've said this probably on the show before, but I've said it on other podcasts. People think they make the comment he makes everyone better as if that's true. It's just not true. He makes some players better. But there's a long line of guys who include a bunch of guys in L.A. this year and guys that were in L.A. and no longer are there that are prospering elsewhere that did not do so great when he was there. So he is amazing, best player of all time probably, but not the easiest guy to play with. And he doesn't want young guys. He doesn't like foolery. He doesn't like tomfoolery, right? He is OCD. He wants to know every little thing that's going on at all times. He's professional. And so you get all these veterans in, and it's you take a flamethrower to the place because it's not working how it is now. And I think they're going to make big changes, but keep those two guys. But I think the mission is going to be the same. Find a bunch of old guys and hope LeBron and AD stay healthy. And that's just not a good strategy.
So you think that he finishes his career in LA?
Oh, that I don't know. I think now he's got to kind of look at 1 year at a time because of what he said about his son, who is a really talented player. So I don't know that you're going to see long-term deals from him anymore. Although as we've seen, these guys can always get traded wherever they want to get traded to. I mean, with James Harden showed if they want to get a deal done, they'll get a deal done. So he's got so much power. Nobody wouldn't trade for him knowing what it'll mean to their personal finances. So I don't think anything long-term is wise because he'll bail if things aren't looking good. He wants to try to compete again, not make it even a play-in to me. Cemented his legacy of I've got to make sure every year from now on I got to be on a postseason level team.
Yeah, you grew up a Lakers fan going all the way back to when? Early 80s?
Norm Nixon was my favorite player. Okay. So in the 79-80 season when I was 14 years old, Magic was there as a rookie, and so I've been rooting for them since 79-80. I don't anymore, but I did as a child through college for sure.
Well, as somebody, we have like 30 seconds in this segment, but as someone who's followed them your whole life, worst season ever for the organization?
I mean, they had some bad runs with Kobe too.
They did for sure. Yep.
Yeah. I know this. At least the expectation. I thought they'd win 50 games regular season and struggle in the postseason. And so I was wrong because of what happened with injuries and whatever. And none never came. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're not wrong to say it's about as disastrous based on expectations as they've ever had.
Yeah, 16-1 to miss the playoffs.
To miss the playoffs.
Yes.
Yeah. The coach, David Thorpe, he's going to hang out for one more segment with us here and follow the money. Which matchups does he like or love that are already set in the playoffs? We'll talk about the play-in games as well coming up next.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow the money on VSEN, the sports betting network.
Conquer the competition for cash with the Northman Clash on the Ice Challenge. Join two free-to-play pools and compete for your share of $10,000 in total cash prizes. With your hockey predictions, head to DraftKings.com/the Northman now to join the action. The Northman in theaters April 22nd. DraftKings.com for details. Another segment with the coach, David Thorpe, at Coach Thorpe on Twitter. I subscribe to True Hoop. You should as well. He's with TrueHoop.com. Adams, we start the play-in round tomorrow. First game with the Nets and the Cavs. Adam Silver said they're looking at tweaking it. Well, what would you change? And I feel bad here. Well, I know they should win, but Minnesota in the play-in is 10-12 games better than New Orleans and San Antonio. New Orleans is 10 games under 500. San Antonio is 14 games under 500. Minnesota's 10 games over 500. And I know in the bubble, they had that rule where you had to be within six games or you weren't eligible. What would you tweak if you were in charge here?
I would probably look at it both ways. I would say if you're above the other 8, 9, 10, whatever, or really just the 8, if you're the 7th seed above the 8th seed by, call it five games, and pick some number, then you're cemented. And so what you really, the play-in should be those teams that are just within a couple, maybe three, four games of each other.
Yes.
And you realize over the course of a season, especially with all the COVID we've had, it's been such a crazy year. But even going forward, if we can ever get through the pandemic fully, within four games of each other, play off against each other to qualify. But let's not punish a team that in any other year would, before this rule, would easily make the postseason. And it's considerably better than the other teams. Even if all these teams are above 500, we still should be rewarding teams that outplay the others by a significant margin and not pulling them back into the play-in and force them to win a game of two. It seems unfair, especially when they have to go up against a two seed in the case of Minnesota. Should they get by the Clippers, they got to play Memphis. So it's nothing easy.
No. You know what it feels like? Almost a little bit like March Madness. When you have like a 3-14 or a 2-15 almost now in the play-in, and let's say the T-Wolves have a cold shooting night. Okay. Could season could be over with already.
Someone could get hurt, something, anything. Yeah. Fluke.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely.
Right.
What do you think of the Nets now? All kinds of issues defensively. Who can step up if Kyrie has an off game or Durant isn't Superman? And now the Cavs getting healthy here.
Or do you think the Nets win at home and move on to take on Boston?
Hard to bet on a team like that. They can be so bad defensively, but it's harder to bet on. I'm using the word bad. I'm not even thinking about who I'm talking to. It's hard to trust Cleveland, who's never done anything like this before. I mean, Jared Allen had a little taste. And, you know, Durant kind of wrote the book on being great in the postseason the last 15 years. So I think that, Durant kind of can always be Superman. He's really that special. And Kyrie certainly is more up and down. I do think any game Brooklyn plays can be competitive. I don't trust them longer term. I would trust them more in the shorter term just to get to the playoffs. And then after that, I don't think I'll pick them. But I do think they'll get by this first game. It's in any one game, if you guys are someone in the NCAA tournament, this is what Adam Silver wants. I get it. It isn't necessarily rewarding who the best team is over the course of a period of time. This is why March Madness is what it is. It's the magic of one game, the upsets happening. And there's no question Brooklyn could lose a game. They don't guard. They were guarding early this season. It's been gone for a while. That's where Ben Simmons could really help. If they didn't ask him to do anything offensively, just because he's been out for so long. But even defensively, that there's a timing, there's a feel for defense that I don't think he can capture on day one. I think he'd be disaster defensively in one game after missing a whole season. My experience, guys, does not tell me you play well game one on defense, and especially if it's a postseason game. I think it's almost like jumping on a freeway when you haven't driven in a long time. It's everything's gonna be going a little fast for you, and you're gonna be uncomfortable, or you're gonna get in a car wreck fast. Neither is good for Brooklyn.
Is there a matchup that you like a lot in the play-in games?
Oh, I mean, the Minnesota Clippers is really interesting because of Pat Bev. Being such an integral force in Minnesota, he's really connected. I think he loves his old Clippers teammates. The Paul George, Norman Powell combination being back to me is intriguing. Karl Anthony Towns I tweeted after two or three games his rookie year that I thought he had higher upside than Anthony Davis. And I love Anthony Davis, but people really trashed me for that. Maybe I'm so stupid for having written that a long time ago, but he's the best shooting big maybe of all time behind Dirk, certainly the best American shooting big. And it's time for him. Time for him to show he can be a two-way player, get things done defensively. Anthony Edwards is such a delightful guy to watch and cheer for. Ty Lue's become one of my two or three favorite coaches in the world. He'll try anything. Terrence Mann's one of my all-time favorite players now in the pros. I loved him when he wasn't playing and didn't understand why Doc wouldn't play him. Ty Lue's really kind of embraced him. We saw what he did in that one game against Utah. They're an intriguing team, so I love that game.
Okay. How about some first-round matchups that are set in stone already? It's unfortunate. I was high on the Bulls before the season started, but so many injuries, Coach, and so much to deal with throughout the entire year. How many games can they take against the Bucks?
Yeah, they might get swept. They've really been bad. They've been really bad. But the Sixers-Raptors series is just going to be the must-watch games, I think. I really feel like the Warriors-Nuggets and Sixers-Raptors, we're talking about such different styles, so much talent. If Steph, let's be hopeful that he can play well. Golden State kind of looks like they should get back defensively with Draymond hitting his thing, but then you deal with Jokic. And the Nuggets are certainly flawed without Murray and MPJ, but I think Jokic is the best player in the world. Although Giannis made a hell of a run late, Embiid's been amazing too. I think the MVP should be Jokic. And Denver's a team that we've seen in the postseason for years now, for a couple of years, not be an easy team to knock out, even with the injuries they've had, because I think Jokic is that good. And Malone does have them. They really compete at a very, very high level and don't quit. They just kind of believe in themselves, and it helps to have Jokic to do that. So I mean, it's a great series too.
Yeah. I mean, I know Clay's been red hot down the stretch here for the Warriors, but if Steph is if he can't go or the injury still is going to impact his game, I mean, clearly to your point, and you've talked about this so many times, Jokic is going to easily be the best player on the court for the 7-game series.
Yeah. Steph has to be terrific for them to win the series. I mean, it without a great Steph, it still can go six or seven games.
Uh-huh.
Draymond's such a force defensively, but it's not a great matchup for Golden State if Steph is off. If he's on, I think they'll be the better team, but I don't know that he'll be on. I don't know. I don't know the latest on his health. It's a big deal because Jokic is just that good. He, you know, I talk about there are certain players that just make everything better for your team, not individually, but collectively. And those are the guys that can impact the game both ways. They can help your team when your team is struggling to shoot, which is such a big deal in the playoffs because people can take away your best actions. But you really can't do that against him. He's such a gifted passer. I've studied him a lot just recently about his passing. I wrote an article about it the other day, what big men can do in this league. And he just makes everybody have an easier time to score. Not a great rim protector, but a good paint protector. But when Golden State's rolling, they can really shred Denver's defense.
Yep.
You mentioned it's a crazy week for you, busy time. What's going on at True Hoop, and where can we find your work this week?
Yeah, so I'll do the Low Post pod on this week. We're on it Friday. I'm sure he'll publish it, and so all week long I'm studying it. And so what we'll do is, as I study all these series, I'll be posting on True Hoop what I'm finding, and I'll talk about it in more depth with Zach and all the million pods I'll do this week, including our Bring It In pod later today. We'll air it this afternoon. There's a lot going on, but I'll be looking at some of we talked about some here, things like the Lakers. What are they going to do in the offseason? Kristaps Porzingis, he looked okay in Washington. What does that mean? Is he someone you can bank on? My answer is probably not, but he definitely looked better on a terrible, terrible team. So we'll look at some big picture views of teams not in the Detroit. Looks like they might have something going on.
Mm-hmm.
I'll look at that, but mostly I'll be diving in on these playoff matchups, the play-ins, as well as the first series and what should be as dramatic a postseason as we've ever seen.
Totally agree. Yeah. For those of you who want more of Coach Thorpe, go to truehoop.com. And again, the podcast is called Bring It In. Can't thank you enough for your time, Coach. Thanks so much today, and have a good week.
My pleasure. Talk to you guys later.
Yeah, be good.
Totally agree with him with the Minnesota thing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yep, yep.
They're 14 games better, 12 games better than the Spurs.
He said
14 games under 500.
Yep, he said it's an easy fix.
Yes, it is.
100%. If you're that many games above, you're automatically in the playoffs.
Yep.
And then you can have a fight for the eight, however else you want to do it. They should not have to go through this.
You're right, though. You could have a bad game, whatever.
Of course. Yep. Up next, early Major League Baseball observations and today's numbers on the card. Don't let this get lost today. You know who is taking the mound, right? Well, we will remind you of that coming up next.
Follow the money on VSEN, the Sports Betting Network.
Play-in round starts tomorrow. Playoffs start this weekend, and Bet Rivers has an incredible offer. Place a wager of $25 or more on any team to win the finals. You'll receive a $5 free bet for every series they win. Go to BetRivers.com to see the current odds and get your free bets. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, so before the break, I teased that you-know-who is going today, making his first start of the year in Major League Baseball. And Paulie, it's not going to take long for the fine folks watching this show on Masson to realize who I'm talking about, as the Twins are at home against the Mariners. And for Seattle today, Flexen is going, but that's not who I'm talking about. It's his opposition today. It's Dylan Bundy for the Twins. Should I remind people of Dylan Bundy's work in the big leagues over the years? In 2017 with Baltimore, again, very promising prospect that came in. I mean, the numbers were just, it started to really get derailed, like in 2017, 2018. 2018, 5.45 with the ERA. The FIP was 5.17. XFIP 4.28. 2019, 4.79 with the ERA. FIP and XFIP in the mid-fours. Then he went to Anaheim in the pandemic season. And he was 6-3 overall, pitched 65 innings, pretty good. ERA 3.29, FIP, XFIP, all solid. than last year when he went 2-9 in 90 innings. It ballooned back up for career highs of 6.06 with the ERA. FIP 5.51. XFIP no good. Really got lit up the entire season. He's going today. And by the way, taking money from Minnesota.
How about that? And Flexen was top 10 in ROI last year. Yep. Seattle trying to get 3 out of 4 here on the road.
Uh-huh.
Good start by Ray. But it's April. You're going to see a lot of weird stuff. I mean, I know maybe the Cubs can surprise a lot of people, but they beat Burns and Woodruff to start the season as well.
Oh, and got to Peralta yesterday.
Yeah, that's right. So, right.
A terrible start by the top three guys for the Brewers.
Yep. Yep. But it's a long season. You're going to see a lot of crazy stuff, especially early on. But, yeah, I'm surprised with this price. And I think Seattle's, what's the playoff drought? 2001? They're the sexy pick after winning 90 games and what you did
right
in the offseason. But this is, they got to end that drought to finally make the playoffs here.
Well, this one's going the other way on me. I'm not getting good CLV on this one. I bet the Mariners are already at plus 115 today. And it's already at plus 121 here at Circa. I would also, it's Dylan Bundy we're talking about here. You can find the Mariners team total, first five, over 2.5 at plus 130. If it's the same old Dylan Bundy, who he's been pretty much his entire career, the Mariners can't get 3 runs in the first 5 innings against him, of course they can. It's who he is. It's what he does.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of teams do that against him. Early and often. Get him out of the game.
You like the Giants? I lean the Giants.
Overall on the year or today?
No, today, sorry. Because Martinez is going, and he was in Japan. And not that he was great anyways before he left the States. It took 3 out of 4 against the... How about that Diamondbacks lineup?
Well, it was a good it was a good start for the Friars.
Yes. But you also... They remember, Darvish no-hit him through 6. And the same thing happened with Manea. And a good job by Derek Stevens told the guys here, put up a prop. Would Musgrove have a no-no through 5?
Yeah.
Because they ain't got a hit off a starter yet. I think the first guy got a hit. But it was a creative prop. Very good.
I like that.
It's like they haven't been able to do anything offensively against the Padres starters. So they take 3 out of 4. Now they hit the road. Giants take 2 out of 3 against the Marlins. But I would trust Wood here and the Giants. And I think they can get to Martinez.
I like some of the reaction to his tweet, by the way. People are saying, you should post, will Team X have 0 runs through the first 5? That would be good. To bet on a team to get shut out in the first 5. I like that idea. But, you know, again, like, you're right, it's April, it's early, crazy things happen.
Yeah.
Look at the Guardians-Royals first 2 games of the series.
Right.
Nothing happened offensively, and the Guardians went for 6 in the first yesterday against the Royals, and it scored 17, their most runs in like 3 years, I think.
Blue Jays-Yankees, big series too.
So
in New York, though.
What do you think of the number here?
Yeah.
Manoa's $1.08 this morning. He is a slight favorite.
Yeah. I would say a ton of runs, but I was surprised by how well Boston's pitching did.
Well, look at these Blue Jay scores.
You're exactly right. Look at these Blue Jay scores, and that's a concern about Berrios, too, or Berrios,
yeah,
about what happened in the opener.
Now, is that a combination of who they played with the Rangers? Because the Rangers are going to be bad again pitching. I think we all can anticipate that, and their offense is good. But at the same time, I mean, this Blue Jays offense can just break against anybody.
It should be high-scoring series like it was last year.
I like
Manoa,
though.
11-8 head-to-head last year, by the way.
Manoa's good.
Teams, but that's okay.
Yep.
Yeah, and what do you want to do with Tyone? That's another question. And like the Red Sox and Tigers. Tigers should have been swept, had the comeback win to win their first game, and Waka goes for Boston.
Well,
Waka was bad. It has been bad.
It's something to watch with the White Sox because they were... on the road in Detroit, and Cease was very good.
Yes.
And Kopech was also strong.
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention to what their numbers are in the next start with Cease and with Kopech. I thought Cease was lights out, in fact, in the early work that he got. So he was a dark horse Cy Young candidate to begin the season. I mean, he was 20-1 to win the Cy Young in the American League. We talked about last week, we liked the kid, but I can't bet 20-1. And by the way, one more thing on the Guardians game. I don't mind them plus 102 today either. Savale's on the mound against Hernandez. I think plus money with Cleveland might be a look for me as well. I haven't bet it yet, but I could go down that path.
Good series, too, with the Mets and Phillies. Now, that's the same thing with the Mets. Good start. You take 3 out of 4 against the Nats, but I would say the Nats, they're going to have a long year, okay?
For sure.
But a good job by the Mets taking 3 out of 4. And now they take on Philly, and Philly took 2 out of 3 against the A's. Couldn't get any offense going yesterday. But that could be a good series. And I have to look at your guy Suarez is going.
He is going today.
You're high on him.
Yeah, he's leaning $1.50. I was hoping the number was going to be a little bit lower than that today, but I still might get on board.
Yeah, and the Angels lost 3 out of 4 at home to the Astros. And again, the Astros own them since they came into the AL West. How about what happened here with our 13-run pool?
Oh, this is great.
Can you believe this?
Okay.
The Astros scored 13 runs and then were shut out the following day?
They crossed out both of them.
Yes, they did. So William Hill updated it. They are now 7-1. To be the first team to cross off every 0 through 13. Yeah. They've already done 0 and 13.
That team's got to score 0 through 13.
Right.
And then it goes like 6-7 weeks normally.
Happens back to back.
That's huge.
How about that? Now
they have to be the favorites to win that pool.
Yeah.
By the way, it's not only William Hill for people asking about this. I think DraftKings was doing this to begin the season.
Oh, great.
So it's going to be available in more jurisdictions.
And William Hill told you as soon as it ends, they'll put it up again. Right?
Yeah, right. They're going to cycle through as many times as possible. Yeah.
Good. Astros are 7-1. Blue Jays are 10. Cardinals, White Sox, Phillies, 14.
Okay, so when will the Blue Jays cross off the shutout and one run in a game?
Yeah, I know.
Maybe I know.
I'm with you on that one.
When do they get Cole in the series? Well, it's a possibility to go out there and strike out 10,
well,
shut him down.
He would go Wednesday, I believe, right?
I think it would be Wednesday, yeah. Okay. Yep. But that's
13 and then shut out. How about
the Astros offense is really good again.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get that 13, which is actually certainly possible with a team like that. But then to get shut out, terrible start by the Angels, bad start by the Diamondbacks.
Dodgers lose that series, didn't they?
Oh, they did, yeah.
They lost 2 out of 3 in Coors.
I didn't see this. What do you think the Rockies were on the series price?
Yeah, good call.
Okay, that.
Right.
So bad start for LA. And again, kudos to the Cubs. Because they could have swept, could have, would have, should have, I know, against the Brewers. But they basically got to Burns, Woodruff, and Peralta. And we made the case that those are the three best pitchers in that division. Their rotation is one of the best in all of Major League Baseball. And all three guys looked extremely shaky at best.
I'll tell you who could be an over team. Also, St. Louis. Until they get healthy with the pitching. But that might be worth a look with their team total on a nightly basis also.
Hudson's going today. Oh, they can hit. Arenado's off to a great start.
Yep.
Don't forget about that guy.
Yep.
Yeah, and
that's true.
Hudson, big favorite today, though. $1.90 in that game. So, but it's full card today. A's and Rays. It's just the Rays organization. Again, I get it. It's the Orioles, but...
No, but that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, I know. But they had a high win total to begin the year.
It makes sense. Beat them 15 in a row now in 21-22.
And by the way, they just called up one of their... Already, they said, let's go to the minors. They're calling up one of their better prospects already to join them here at the big leagues.
Did you watch a kid from Cincinnati? Didn't that kid go yesterday? He throws 105. Did he get in there? What's his name? Green or whatever?
Well, Hunter Green?
Yeah. Did he go? Did he get in there?
So
yeah, what did he do?
He
went mixed bag. Okay.
No, 5 innings.
Yeah.
Right? 7 strikeouts.
3 runs. Yeah.
And that is certainly something for him to watch, strikeout props.
Right.
Because it wasn't exactly that high yesterday, but 5 innings, 7 strikeouts. He's got a ton of potential. That was another one. Kyle Wright for the Braves was really good. 6 innings, scoreless ball. Another guy you might want to jot down, keep your eyes on. Early season here in MLB. You got to love the early season stuff, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how about Buxton for the Twins now? Did you see his
upper
one home
tank.
Run?
Upper tank.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, crushed it.
Because you could bet on players to have the longest home run.
Yeah. Stanton went 440.
Oh, that's typical.
That's right. Yeah, that's not.
Yep. Yep. All right, follow the money here on VSiN. Up next, we'll grade NBA win totals. Of course, one win total came down to the final day of the regular season, and the team decided to sit two of their better players. Details next.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow the money on VSEN, the sports betting network.
Get everything you need to bet on baseball this season, 24-7 streaming, daily best bet emails, advice, data, strategy, only $19. Our all-digital MLB guide at VSEN.com available now. Sign up today, get full access to VSEN through the NFL draft, only $19 at VSEN.com/draft. I think I said it last week. I'll repeat it. I'm seeing a lot of Pickett, the Carolina at six, with some of these, and he's a dog to go. It's Willis and then Pickett for the odds.
I hate the Pickett six.
That'd be something. But you have the rule connection there.
How many quarterbacks do you think deserve to go or are worthy of being taken in the first round?
Okay, that's two different questions.
Maybe one.
God.
Yeah. Willis, first quarterback drafted, -170.
Yeah. So I'm higher than that too. I see Ritter going 32nd now.
Okay. Yeah. Can I give you this?
Uh-huh.
There was I listened to an interview. Somebody from Pro Football Focus was telling the two hosts that he thinks five quarterbacks are going in the first round.
Yeah. Willis, Pickett, Corral, Howell, Ritter. There you go.
Rattled them all off, all five. I almost drove off the road.
There's two and a half.
There are two and a half props.
Yeah.
Yeah. Five. I cannot imagine a scenario where five quarterbacks go in the first round.
Giddy up. They reach every year. I'm seeing plenty of mocks with Ritter in there. McShay's got him in there, too.
Have you seen Corral going first round?
Yeah. Yeah.
These mock drafts, though, I mean.
Yeah, right. The Thibodeau stuff's all over the place.
Well, who knows where he's going to go.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, two through seven with him.
Mm-hmm.
The way it appears. But this is if shop around for the quarterback props. I don't think there's a 4.5 out there. I know there's a 2.5 out there. I've seen 3. There has to be a 3.5. But this person was saying that he would actually bet over 4.5. And I was like, oh my, wow. I was floored by that. Mm-hmm. By the way, reminder on Major League Baseball too, when it comes to betting this stuff early on in the season. First fives may be the way to go almost always. And when you're looking at pitch counts early on in the season, these managers are being like ultra careful. I mean, we're talking about guys getting yanked after 60 pitches in the 70s, low 80s, like tops the weight seems. And they'll go like, you know, four innings, four and one third, four and two thirds, and then get them out of the game. They don't want to have the wear and tear. Mm-hmm. They don't want to throw these guys for 98 pitches or 116 pitches out of the gates. We've known this, but I think this year probably more than ever so far to start the season. So, how many win totals did you bet in NBA?
Bet a couple. Lost with the Nets over. That was just Kyrie derailed that. Knicks under, winner. And I had the Hawks over, which almost got there, but no dice. So
I had the Grizz over.
Oh, good.
And I had
easy.
I had the Bulls over. So those were two good results.
Memphis went over by 14.
Yeah. Did you see the game Saturday night at all?
Oh, they had a 55-point quarter.
Yeah, and they had 119, I believe, at the end of the third quarter.
That was our friend Tony, our guy, who has a great job tracking quarters in every sport. That sick run with the Pelicans on the road.
Yeah, so that game...
The first quarter went under. Where is it?
It was 30-18.
30-18.
Yeah.
They scored 141 points.
Yeah.
They had a 55-point quarter. 88 combined out of the two teams.
The second and third quarters, they're playing their backups the entire time. The athleticism on the backups.
Yeah.
It's off the charts.
Strong 1-12, yes. They go over by 14. Minnesota goes over by 11 wins. Raptors by 11. Your unders, the Nets stayed under by 11. Pacers by 17. They were supposed to be a 500 team.
That's right.
But the injuries, trade, you know.
Well, they have to be super happy with the trade with Halliburton.
Oh, absolutely. Portland stays under by 17 wins. How bad was that outfit down the stretch?
Honestly, one of the worst stretches I've seen from any NBA team.
What'd
that
get
remember.
To? Utah's laying 19 on the road.
19 on the road.
Come on.
And by the way, Utah, again, I can go over this, but I think Utah shot like 30 free throws in the first half. Utah, they were awful last night. I'll give you the team stats for Utah, and think about this. They won 111-80. While they actually ended up shooting 45%, they were shooting sub-30% for the entire game.
Oh, yeah.
They hit 25% of their threes. It was 9 of 36. They were shooting like 15% for the game. But they out-rebounded. Look at this. They out-rebounded Portland last night 60-32, and they shot 38 free throws. They didn't play well. They won by 31.
Their last game, they played Dallas. They scored 78 points. They had a 13 and a 9-point quarter. Lost 128-78. Look at this. The only game they were competitive was OKC, and they're doing the same thing.
I hope a team like this now is not rewarded in the draft.
Yeah.
And I hope it doesn't work out for them, and I hope they don't get a guy that turns out to be great.
Now, and the Lakers lead the way. Lakers under by 18 wins. It was a all-time disaster, mm-hmm. No doubt about it. The close calls, Wizards, Sixers, and Nuggets. They all depend where you shop, but all went over by half.
By half.
Yep.
And then think about what you needed for the Sixers yesterday, right?
So only did the game.
If you bet it over 50.5, they had to win the game yesterday to cash that win total, and they sat Harden and Embiid, and the Pistons, from what I know, they pulled like three of their best players to start the second half. Didn't play him anymore in the game.
They were down 15 in the first half and then cut it to 2 at halftime. And then the shenanigans there.
Right. And they pulled away.
Yep.
And won the game to go over the total.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to put up with all of that yesterday. Bucks went way under.
That's not a surprise.
Actually, that's the reason why I bet the Bulls to win their division, mm-hmm. which it was a loser. But they won the championship last year. I think the writing was on the wall from that team where they basically said, home court doesn't really mean much. You have that championship hangover. They played a lot of basketball all the way into the middle of July. Guys were injured to begin the season. And it made sense that, maybe somebody can give them a run for the money in the division. Bulls did for a minute. But they just had so many injuries they couldn't overcome it. And the Bucks pulled away at the end to win that. But still stayed under.
Last two meetings, Milwaukee beat Chicago 126-98 and 127-106. That last one was on the road. That was last week. Yikes.
Best case scenario for Chicago was what?
They get a game.
What did they take game one?
They're not taking a game one.
It would remind me of
How low does the price get?
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of hoping for.
Yeah.
Like, I want, remember, the Celtics took game one against the Bucks a couple years ago. when they had Kyrie, and the Bucks destroyed them the next four games. It's kind of like Sixers-Lakers.
That's when Paul Pierce said, the series is over.
Oh, he did, yeah,
there's nothing they can do and make adjustments.
That's right,
yeah,
that's right. Remember, Sixers-Lakers, NBA Finals. Nobody gave the Sixers a chance whatsoever.
Yeah.
And Philly went to L.A. with Iverson in game one and beat him.
Shot over Lou. Steps over.
Yep.
Okay. Yep.
Yep.
Good action. How about this? How about that? Celtics get there, 20-1 to win the division. Send all your tickets in.
That's sick.
500 at the break. 18-21 at one point. They come all the way back to win the division. And Udoka. Yeah, I like the comments. Like, hey, we had a meeting about this, and you can't try to avoid teams. You don't know who you're going to play because the Nets are in the play-in game. Maybe the team you're trying to avoid, they don't even end up being there. So what we concluded was, let's do what we do and let the chips fall where they may. And then you also had Memphis sitting everybody in an eight-point move with the line. And they dominate Memphis with no problem. And I think in Philly knew what was going on as well. I mean, that was a tough matchup because you knew with the thigh ball stuff, you didn't want to go to Toronto.
Right.
But like they're not going to – Memphis is going to sit people. Celtics are going for it. Okay, that's it. Why even bother playing hard and Embiid? And they won anyways.
Okay, so assuming for a second here the Celtics get the Nets in the first round and the number's right, are you not going to be betting Boston?
Oh, you have to. Yeah.
I will be.
Yeah.
If the number's right. I'm not going to want a part of the Nets. How do they stack up behind their top two players? With the way the Celtics have been rolling, they are clearly the better basketball team.
I forget the person who said it, but they said Tatum's going to average 40 in the series.
Probably.
Which could happen, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then what if Smart actually can put the clamps on Kyrie for a couple of games?
Could happen. Sure. You look at his numbers since he came back and had to play on a regular basis.
I know.
It's night and day.
So I'm just like, if he can... If let's say Smart limits Kyrie to, I don't know, 7 of 21 from the floor, and he has like 21 points. Well, if KD doesn't go for 50, how are they going to be able to match Boston bucket for bucket?
Yeah, they just played too. Was that Friday night, and the Cavs made a furious comeback. They came all the way back in the fourth quarter and took the lead.
That's right.
And then the Nets got the win, but that's no gimme tomorrow. I mean, just how bad they've been ATS at home?
5-26-1 is a home favorite.
Yeah.
By far and away, not even close. I mean, there's no close second place. 21 games below 500. I mean, what happens when you have these overpriced teams that come in and they don't adjust enough? I mean, again, this team was laying, 14 not that long ago to...
Couldn't put away the Pacers.
Yeah.
That got hairy there for a little bit in the fourth quarter.
All right. Up next, Rex Hoggard's going to join the show from the Golf Channel. Who should we be looking to bet at the PGA Championship?
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to brand new on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of Bitcoin, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.